to Toffee Blue Opposition View again. Yes, I am still Jerry, and with me today I have again, I have Alain again from Lyon. Welcome, Alain. It's good to talk to you.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for having me again in your show.
Hey, it was an absolute pleasure the first time, so I'm sure this will be the same. All right. Let's get into this. It's an interesting time to be an Everton supporter. It's funny, I feel like our two teams have kind of taken off in opposite directions since we played. We were already on a downward trajectory when we started playing you. And then ever since we played, you guys got a couple of wins in the meantime, and now you're ranked third in the league.
Right.
I mean,
if this is football, we were almost depressed the other day, and now we're number three in the French league, which is somewhat, I would say it's a bit ridiculous, but that's how it goes. So we stop complaining about the coach or anything. So for the time being, we just enjoy being number three in the league, and that's it. But unfortunately, I've seen that it's not really the same for Everton, because you guys really... it's interesting that we are able to talk, though, because so many things happened for both sides. I've seen that Koeman had been fired. So you have a new coach.
He's an interim manager. U23 manager. I mean, he's done a good job of kind of getting the team morale up, and he's trying to instill a more of an Evertonian spirit. But still not winning games. Still lost two games. So
yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that. The last game was Leicester, I think.
Right. First 30 minutes looked really bad. Along.
yeah. But we've been able, you know, if I don't know if you remember the other time I was saying that winning against Monaco maybe would give us some momentum and we'd be able to win that game against Everton, and that's exactly what happened. Right. This is typically the type of game that we wouldn't have won before, probably. To be honest, a draw would have been quite logical to me. I don't know about you guys, but I think that each team had its own, you know, half of the game. I mean, we were probably a bit better in the first half, and
Definitely.
We were better in the second half. We were very lucky that Traoré was able to score that incredible goal with the back heel, you know. It was so unexpected, and we're really grateful for that. But probably another draw would have been logical. So yeah, we've been able to build on these couple of victories, including in the French league, and so now we feel much better now, we are quite in a good position in Europa League. So we are really looking forward to that game against the Toffees. But that's something I guess we're going to have the opportunity to talk about. But I was kind of wondering if Everton, I mean, there's kind of an emergency situation for you guys in the English league right now, because I've seen that you are in the relegation area. I mean, you're number 18 or 18, can't remember. Yeah. So
you're right, 18th. It's pretty
yeah.
bad.
How do you see? Yeah. Can only be better in the future, I guess. But how do you consider this Europa League now? I mean, is it still a priority, do you think, for the club?
That's a great question, because I think that varies from supporter to supporter. I know the guys that I talk to, you know, David and Edward, that I make the videos with, I think both of them see Europa League as still a possibility. There's still a slight chance to advance to the next round. Now, more realistic supporters who play the odds would say, you know what, that dream is over for this year. We need to focus solely on the league. I'm usually an optimistic guy. I don't like writing off your chances until they're completely written off. I'm hoping that our manager actually, you know, fields a team that has a chance to win. I'm hoping he's going to try to be competitive and not just sort of play all of the youth who have very little experience. I'm hoping we try to win the game. Because I think the manager really needs, I think he wants that. I think he wants to put together some cohesion to build some stability. So I think he may play our strongest players. Whether that does anything, Alan, I have no idea. But
But
yeah.
it's interesting to hear that because, you know, to be perfectly honest, I think a French team being in your position in the league, I mean, the kind of emergency situation, as I was saying, a French club would probably not really play the Europa League, you know, and concentrate and focus more on the league to make sure that they won't be relegated, I think. So it's interesting to know that you guys, I mean, at the same time, to me, it's quite English. I mean, you just never give up, you know, you just always focus on what you have to do and so on. And even if you have only, I've seen the rankings in Europa League and you guys have only 1 point.
1 point.
In three games. So you're last in the group. But still, I mean, you won't be coming to Lyon just because you have to come. I mean, you really intend to play the game and try to win the game.
I think you still
have hopes.
I think Unsworth wants to spark a winning streak. I think he does. I think he wants, because we had a cup game last week at Chelsea, and normally a lot of times when English teams are in the bottom three and they're not playing well, they'll just put out a team that has no chance of playing their next game. All right? And that's a typical thing. Now, to be honest with you, I mean, he put out a pretty solid squad, and we outplayed Chelsea second half. Like, should have won that game. Should have won that game, which was crazy to say that right now, as poor as we've been this season. But we look great. So I could see him trying to actually put together an actual team that could compete with you, at least try to compete with you, because your team is so quick. They are rapid. Their speed is just, that's like, you'll see when you watch the video on the sign in the back here, it says, play your slow players, please. Because that's the only way. Because you have one of the quicker teams that I've seen, period.
Okay.
So I have a question. So you talked about how you're kind of chilling out a little bit on critiquing the manager. With this little good patch, do you feel like everyone else is kind of doing the same as you and giving Genesio just a little bit of leeway? Or are most people still kind of grumbling that he hasn't found a style and the players don't know their role, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you were mentioning style, and that's, I mean, it's all about it. I mean, style has not changed since the last time we met. So there's no real reason to change our minds, except that we've stopped doing draws. Now we win games, so you know how it works. I mean, we win games. There are less complaint and less criticism to Genesio, which is logical. But we know that if the team ever loses again, or if there's another draw streak, you know, I mean, kind of results that are not really satisfying from our side, we know that criticism will be back on the. In the news and on Twitter and on forums and so on. So I mean, Genesio has been able to kind of save his ass so far. The thing is that we have the president Jean-Michel Aulas, the president of Lyon, said a few weeks ago that. He was waiting for the game against Saint-Etienne, which if you remember the last time I was saying that this is our Everton-Liverpool game. This is our big derby here. So this is kind of the game of the year here. So he was waiting for that game to decide on Genesio's future as a manager, as a coach for the team. I don't know if this is still. If this is still valid, I mean, because Genesio has done better, so I mean, lately, better results, so we'll see. But if we ever lose against Saint-Etienne this Sunday, the coming Sunday, I know that criticism will be back. And right. This is quite fragile, the situation for Genesio is still fragile. We were lucky that we've been able to win against Everton. We were lucky to be able to win against Monaco just before that. We had an easy win against Troyes about a week ago. The thing is that we've just played two weak teams in the French league, so it helps building, you know, momentum and confidence, right, and so on. The two teams we had two clean sheets, which had not happened for some time. before that, you know, as I was saying, we score goals, but we also we have many goals that are scored against us too.
I remember.
Yeah, and this has stopped for the last two games. We had two clean sheets, so we are knocking on wood and hope it goes on like that. But Genesio's situation is still, you know, it's not. The idea of changing the coach during the winter break could be back on the news if we have another bad streak or draw streak or whatever, if we're not happy for any reason. I mean, you know, because the thing is that as you were mentioning style, and the style is still the same and it's not very satisfying from my point of view.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah.
So a couple of questions. I'll kind of give you what I've considered to be the simpler question first. I read a story where Genesio came out and said that, benching Depay was a very smart move because his form has improved and he started. I know he got a hat trick against Troyes. Is that right? Mm-hmm. He said that actually the bench has been very good for him and he's an improved player. Now you told me your biggest issue with him was his selfishness.
Right.
So has he worked that selfishness out, or is he just scoring goals and that's what Genesio is talking about?
Well, funnily, I'm not sure he's changed the way he plays, but he's been able to score that hat trick against Troyes. And not only did he score a hat trick, but he did it in a way that kind of amazed me, because one of the goals was a penalty shot, I think, if I remember well. Yeah, it was a Panenka. I don't know if you use the term in English.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
You just chip the ball.
Right. It's always flashy but fun, you know. But it's a total risk if it doesn't work.
Yeah, but the thing is, you better score.
Yeah.
You look ridiculous. If you miss it, you look ridiculous. So he scored that one, but most of all, he scored the two other goals. And I must say that the two other goals were not easy goals to score, in my opinion. And he did it with kind of an easiness that's not so, I've not seen so often in our team, or even in the French league. I think this guy really is very skilled whenever he's focused on what he has to do on the pitch. The thing is that if you remember, Mariano was not playing the game against Everton the other day. He was injured, so now he's back on the pitch. And the thing is that we have kind of two selfish guys here. Because Mariano, is from Real Madrid.
Right.
Maybe this is only my opinion, but maybe I don't know what are his plans for the future. My guess is that he may want to show himself and score as many goals as he can so that he can be better considered by the Madrid staff. You see what
I
mean?
I do.
And maybe have a chance to go back to Madrid. This is only my opinion, but we've seen on the pitch in a couple of games that he was kind of nervous when he was not able to score and this kind of thing. So we have these two guys in our attack that are, they have very different qualities, very different skills. They have very skilled. Mariano is better with the head. He has a good header shot. The thing is that I was saying the other day, these guys kind of play mostly for themselves, trying to score their goal, their own goal, their personal goal. And the team is only a kind of a, you know, kind of background consideration, if you see what I mean. They mostly want to show themselves first. Maybe being benched by Genesio has changed a few things for Depay. But this is something that we have to consider on the longer term.
Right.
I mean, this is still too new to draw any conclusion on this, if you see.
I definitely understand that. Yeah.
So we have to see in a few games and in a few weeks from now. But so I don't know. I guess that answers your question.
Yeah, you're perfect. You always answer the question, and then you usually bleed on over into a few other questions because it's so much information. It's awesome. So I have to ask you about this, because if I didn't, it would be irresponsible. I'm an Everton supporter. You're a Lyon supporter. We have to talk some about the last game. We have to talk about
the last
game. Yeah,
I was about to ask you.
Yeah, it would be so irresponsible not to. Clearly, things got way more physical in the first half than they were in the second half than they were in the first half. I think Everton came out behind, and they wanted to play a little more physical. This was kind of capped off when Ashley Williams got legally bumped off the ball by your keeper. It was Lopez. And legally bumped off the ball. And I think he was thinking, I got pushed. I don't like that. So he turns around and pushes him illegally, deserves a yellow card, you know. And then it just it jumps off. Yeah. You know, it's on. Your players, our players. And then one of our fans comes up with a baby in his arm.
Yeah, which is
crazy. I have zero explanation for how that happens. And I think he was actually blaming one of the stewards for, like, letting him through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's
probably. But it's interesting. The thing is that considering the whole game, it's interesting that first, Lyon was better in the first half because I think there were less intensity and it was a bit less physical than in the second half. And then in the second half, Everton, as you said, started playing more physically. And this is not something we are very much used in the French league, because you know the difference between the French league and the English league probably is that the referees are more strict in the French league. When I say more strict, I mean they tend to use their whistle whenever there is a small fall, or if you see what I want to say, if you see what I mean, and there's more. Kind of more freedom, I think, in the Premier League. You guys can be more physical without the referee having to use his whistle all the time. So somehow Everton started playing in a more physical, and I tend to say in a more English way in the second half, and we were a bit disturbed by that. I think probably they've done a bit more than this. Just more than being more physical. Maybe there were some moves and some things that we've seen on the pitch that were really, you know, could have been
a little bit more than they were recognized by the referee.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, based on that, I think Ashley Williams was just in the tone of the game, in the tone of the second half, when he went a bit too far, of course, when he pushed our goalkeeper. But he's the captain of the team, so that's even more surprising from a captain that's supposed to, you know, to stay calm and so on.
Yeah, that's very true.
And avoid this kind of thing from his teammates, and he did it. The captain did it. So, the thing, he pushed the goalkeeper, and then he started a fight. And I mean, pushing the goalkeeper is one thing. Starting a fight is a bit different. We've seen the pictures. It was like. To me, it was looking like he thought he was on a ring or in a boxing heaven or something. Same picture, quite amazing.
Right.
So the most surprising thing for us was that he only got a yellow card.
Right.
In European games, I guess you've seen as many as I have. So the referees tend to not really like this kind of thing. So we were kind of expecting a red card, to be honest. So we were surprised that it was only a yellow card, which means that he will probably be playing on Thursday. I don't know if you have any
We're not
info.
sure about that yet either. With our interim coach, it could be. I've predicted him to play, but you know what? I know about as much as the lamp that's sitting beside me. So it's hard to say.
Okay, so yeah, there was this fight and it was crazy, but well, to be honest, we've seen that in the French League last year. We were playing in Corsica, in Bastia, and fans came to the pitch and started a fight with our own players.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I don't know what's going on with football right now, but we are on a, you know, things are going the wrong way, I think. Anyway, but I must say that the club of Everton had a great reaction when they decided, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but they decided to ban
They did.
the assaulting fan,
That's
the
right.
child. So I think that was the best thing to do anyway. So yeah, so I don't know. We just hope that things will be better on Thursday in terms of good. I would say the players can be aggressive, but in a good way, you know, not in a mean way. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if. What will be the instructions from the Everton coach about this? But anyway, we know from our side that we will have to play our game anyway,
Right.
and try not to, you know, to respond to any provocation or aggressive playing or this kind of thing. Because anyway, we have, to be honest, we have. Let me just check the rankings, but I think we have. Yeah, we have 5 points. If we win, we will hate. I mean, we probably qualify.
Yeah,
If
I'm
we
almost
win
certain
on
you will.
Thursday, we
Yeah.
probably qualify. So, but at the same time, we know that we will be playing Apollon at home on the following for the following game.
Right.
So we are supposed to win. I know that Apollon can be quite surprising. I mean, they drew against Everton.
That was one of the more frustrating games I've ever watched.
Yeah,
Oh
I
my
guess so.
gosh.
I guess so, but they drew against us too. We were playing away, but they drew against us too. So they can be quite an annoying team to play, you know. But anyway, yeah. I mean, we are in a good position to qualify, I believe. So because of this, or thanks to this, I think we have no reason to be exaggeratedly aggressive on Thursday. I mean, we just have to play the game and see what happens. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say about the last game. I
Okay.
think the other thing maybe is about the fans from Everton. We've seen that there will be a few thousand fans from Everton. I've heard somewhere that I think it's around 3,000 that will be in the stadium. I don't know if it's more or less than this, but I've heard that some fans may be coming without having a ticket for the game.
I'm noticing a trend about that too. I'm seeing on Twitter people asking for spares and seeing if they can get one. I think a lot of them are just excited about the possibility of getting into that game because, you know, playing Lyon's kind of a cool thing. And it's a good place to travel and visit, you know?
But the
So
thing is that if you don't have a ticket, I mean, it's not worth it. You don't
one
need to
would
come if you
think.
don't
One would think. I don't. Yeah, I don't really know exactly what their plan is. I do have one, David, who does the show with us. He will be there. So, but I'm pretty certain he's got a ticket he's taken care of.
Okay, good.
I'll be curious about that. Everton tends to travel well. What's funny is lately our home atmosphere is a little bit toxic, but our away support is just really strong. So it's kind of an interesting, weird dynamic. So I
But
have a.
it's good to have dynamic
Oh yeah.
opponents and supporters, you know,
Oh,
for
our.
the atmosphere in the stadium. It's much better anyway,
Oh, hearing
but I
your
think
away
there would be a
fans
great
last game.
atmosphere from us anyway, so yeah, we don't have to we don't have to worry about this. We'll be like 50,000, so should be okay for the atmosphere.
I feel like your supporters did not stop singing last game, like at
Yeah.
all. I just constantly heard that.
They're
I was
doing
watching on TV, you know?
they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job, I must say.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, let's just hope that everything will be okay, because the thing is that we had some problems last year with the Turkish side. I think it was Besiktas.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen pictures about what happened last year in Lyon, but we had too many. Actually, the thing is that we fucked up with the ticket selling. You know, we sold we've been selling too many tickets to the Turkish, so they came to the stadium in. I mean, there were way too many Turkish people in the stadium, and what's more, they were on the top. You know, on the top. They were just above our biggest fans. So
that's not a good idea. You're right. No, I see how that could be.
It was ridiculous. It was a really bad thing to do. Yeah, the stands. They were in the upper stands, and our fans were in the lower stands. So obviously, the first thing the Turkish started doing was throwing things at the lowest. And so our fans went into the pitch because they just could not stay any longer, which could have been quite dangerous. I mean, we fucked up with the ticket selling. So I think that our staff and the club has learned the lessons from that. We won't see that anymore. And we better not, because the UEFA has, I mean, we had a warning from them because of this. So we better not fuck up again. So yeah, let's hope everything will be okay on Thursday.
Definitely.
And see a great game. And yeah, I mean, that's what else can we do? You have any info about the team that we'll be playing from your side?
I don't. What I do know, I'd have a few little bits of info. Michael Keane is probably going to be out injured, and he's probably our strongest center back. So he has a strange, like, he got a cut on his foot and it got infected and it spread to his leg, and it's the weirdest thing because it's been the case for like weeks.
Okay.
and we just now heard about it this week. And with Unsworth coming in, our newer players have not even been making the squad. So Vlasic, who has been one of our strongest players since we signed him, was not even in the squad on Sunday to play against Leicester. The word is that he was healthy. So you may see a lot of the players that were on the team last season, like Aaron Lennon.
Lennon,
players who maybe haven't played for a while, but they know the system and they have chemistry with other players. So you may be seeing a lot of the more of the old guard. From last
season. That includes Rooney. He didn't play the last game. I didn't quite understand why, but he didn't play the first leg. So
I think that was Koeman trying to rest him just because he's getting older.
Or
Koeman was getting desperate trying to try new things, because sometimes Rooney does not fit in with trying to play people like Sigurdsson. Trying to play them on the field at the same time is tough.
Yeah. Against Leicester, he played as a forward, not as a midfielder.
Yeah.
Or did he play
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was actually a 4-2-3-1. So he played as like a center attacking mid. I believe that's what it was. And in front of him was Dominic Calvert-Lewin, the young forward. That's what Unsworth played last game. And then against Chelsea, he did 4-3-3. Your guess is really, it'll probably be either a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1 as far as formation goes. And one of our strongest goal scorers is not even registered for Europa League, and that's Nias. He's energy, high energy player, plays, you know, hustle, hard worker. He's not even registered because Koeman didn't like him. So do the math on that. So as far as your lineup is concerned,
we don't have the group that we're playing that will be chosen for the game yet. I think we'll know it probably tomorrow, I guess. We don't have any injured player as far as I know this time. Mariano should be able to play. He played this weekend, so he should be able to play. Fekir will be playing, of course. Memphis, you remember the other day I was saying that Memphis, well, he was benched, but there was a competition between him and a young player, Aouar. young academy. So Aouare is kind of made his way to the starting 11 in the last weeks. So we'll probably see Aouare as well. I mean, this is something that would surprise me if we didn't see him. But the way we play is still a 4-2-3-1. It's been like this for quite a long time now. The attacker is Mariano, of course, and behind him you have offensive midfielders. You have, of course, Fekir as the playmaker, and then either Memphis or Aouare on the left, and on the right you have Traoré. Traoré will be playing for sure,
right?
I guess. He has almost no competition. His competitor is Cornet, but Cornet is quite weak, to be honest. So there's no match. He's no match to Traoré. And then for defensive midfielders, we should be able to play with Touzard. He's the most defensive of our midfielders, and probably in Ndombele, which I mentioned the other day.
I remember you talking about him. I watched him specifically when he came in the game. I know he subbed in against us.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the defensive line should be the same, pretty much the same. I mean, we have Morel and Marcelo as center backs. Right. And we have, could be Marcel or Mendy on the left. Right. Mendy is better than Marcel, in my opinion. But Marcel played this weekend, and he did a great game.
Mm-hmm.
He played a great game, so I don't know. And on the right, it should be Raphael or Tete, the ex Ajax player.
Right, I remember that too. Yeah,
I don't know. The thing is that if the coach decides to play more offensively, we could play with Marcel on one side and Raphael on the other side, because these two guys are more offensive.
Okay.
And of course, if you decide that you should not take too many risks and so on, we could play with Mendy and Tete. So I don't know, we'll see. And of course, the goalkeeper remains Lopez. Whatever happens, he's our number one. And so that's all I can say. I mean, so far, I mean, there should not be any big surprise for Thursday, to be honest.
So if I'm talking to Everton supporters, and if I were to say, these are the players Everton really need to keep an eye on. So Fekir, Depay, Mariano, who else? Maybe Aouare?
Aouare, maybe, yeah. And I would say Ndombele, because Ndombele is the guy that breaks the lines, you know. From the defensive area to the offensive area, and Ndombele is the guy who is able to do that.
Gotcha.
And that's why we had problems last season and even earlier this season, is that we were missing this kind of player. Since Ndombele came in the starting 11, I mean, it's easier. You know, I'm not saying that we are playing as a team, because as I was saying, we still have this problem of style, and we're not really satisfied with the style of the team, the way the team plays. But still, I must say that a player like Ndombele really, I mean, it makes the things easier, way easier in the midfield. So yeah, you could keep an eye on that guy too.
Understood. Yeah, that's. I'm curious to see how Genesio will change your team, and what Unsworth's going to do for us, and the adjustments that each team will make, because we've seen you before and you've seen us before. Mm-hmm. So I always like the tactical battle, the chess match, you know?
Yeah.
So we've kind of, I have a new segment for Toffee Blue Opposition View, and it is not football related at all.
Okay.
I'm just curious. I'm a filmmaker from America, so I'm curious. What's your favorite film, and why?
Well, that's quite an unexpected question.
I know.
Wow, my favorite film. I mean, who can answer this kind of question? My favorite film. Wow, there are so many.
I know.
I The other night on French TV, they were broadcasting Duel, the Spielberg movie. You know, his first movie, I think, one of his first movies. This is a great movie. What I like with this kind of movie is very simple. The script and everything is very simple, but it's so efficient. It's so efficient. But I was just mentioning this movie because I saw it the other night, you know. My favorite movie, I don't know. There are so many movies that I like. I mean, English movies, I just love James Ivory. Is he English? I think he is. James Ivory. I mean, I really like the you know, I think he did Remains of the Day. No, I think he did. Totally different. So I don't have a style of movie. I like really different style of movie. I loved Braveheart, for example. It's more action movie, but I really liked it. I don't really have one favorite movie. This is impossible. Talking about English movies, and of course you have to mention Kubrick and movies like Barry Lyndon, for example, which is a masterpiece. For all of his aspects, I mean, music, the photography, and so on. So, yeah, Barry Lyndon is a great movie too. But Kubrick is one of my favorite filmmaker, of course. So yeah, I don't know.
You mentioned Kubrick, you know, with the visual style. I think right before I became. There was a time like in the early 2000s where I went through a huge Kubrick kick. It's actually ironically just after he died. Where I wanted to watch everything of his, like everything, because it was like, you know, every frame's a painting and it's just visually gorgeous. Now, right. It's like I still admit that it's really quality filmmaking, but I'm more of a character, you know.
Okay.
I really like character because I feel like a lot of Kubrick's films are about ideas and concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
a really
right.
big, like, I really love, now, I'm, and it's, this is not just because I'm talking to a French fellow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the 400 Blows.
Okay.
You know, for, the Truffaut film from the 60s. It's one of my favorite movies, and it's just a character study, and it's beautiful.
Well, I didn't even think mentioning a French movie, but there are many, of course, there are many French movies that I like too. I mean, Truffaut is one of my favorites anyway.
Awesome.
I should see, the French title is Le Dernier Métro, so it should be The Last Underground. I'm not sure if this is the actual English title, but this is another great movie from Truffaut, and it's from 1980. I think the year is 1980, with Catherine Deneuve and Depardieu.
I have not seen that one.
No?
I haven't.
Oh, you should. Yeah, you should see that one. If you're a Truffaut fan, you definitely should see that one.
The 400 Blows, Jules Légime, I really like that. But although I have some of my friends who are filmmakers and they found that profoundly frustrating to watch. He did Day for Night. That's another one that I really liked. It's more just a fun movie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the other movies are they're just good character studies and complex concepts and long conversations, you know. Cool.
It's from the Nouvelle Vague group of filmmakers, you know, and another one from that group is Chabrol. I don't know if you know Chabrol. Maybe my favorite French movie is from Chabrol, actually. Well, it's funny because I can't say, I was saying I can't mention a favorite movie from American movies or English movies, but my favorite French movie could be a Chabrol film, which is called in French Que la bête meurt. So in English, it should be May the Beast Die, something like that. It's probably taken from a book.
I'm having trouble thinking of that name because if I've seen that movie, it's not.
It's a movie from 1969. I know the year. Chabrol filmography. Let's have a look. I'm just want to checking. Just want to check.
Oh, This Man Must Die. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's the title. Yeah,
Yeah.
okay. That's not the beast must die. That's
No,
not that.
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Okay,
that I've never seen that
yeah.
either, but wow.
You should because the thing is that the history is quite strong, but most of all, there's an atmosphere around the movie. If you have the opportunity to see it with the French with the English subtitles, you know, because I know as a, because my I work as a translator. I don't know if I mentioned it before,
Oh no,
but
huh.
yeah, I do. And you lose so many things when you when watching a movie in with the you know
The dubbed voices.
your. Yeah, exactly.
I
Your foreign
intensely
language.
dislike watching a movie that's dubbed, unless I'm watching it specifically because I don't care about it and I want to have fun with it. I can't take it
Yeah.
seriously with dubbed voices. It's yeah, can't do it.
It's yeah. So you have two. He did two great movies at the same time. I mean, there was this one, the Man Must Die, and it's. Oh, I was saying it's taken from a book, and I was right. It's a book from. By Nicholas Blake, The Beast Must Die. And it's a let me just check who's that guy. Oh, he's a British writer. So the movie is actually was made from an English book, you know, I didn't even know. So yeah,
Okay, I'm
anyway.
gonna look more about into Chabrol because I don't know if I've seen any
Yeah.
of his
Yeah.
work, but I've
Yeah,
heard
you have
of him.
this one, and
So,
you have the same year, I think in 69, you have The Butcher, which is another famous movie from Chabrol. You have the choice. You can if you have the opportunity to watch one of these movies, I mean,
awesome.
you shouldn't lose your time,
That's
waste your
great. No,
time.
that's great. I'm always looking for new stuff. I have less time to watch movies now because I have two young children. So usually we have to watch movies like after they're in bed. And usually we have to watch like half of it. So there's 45 minutes, then she goes to bed, and then we wake up the next day, live our day, they go to bed again, then we watch the other half. It stinks to watch movies like that, but it's like if you don't, then you don't watch anything. So, which is sort of the reality. Anyway. All right. Well, I appreciate you humoring me for this conversation. I'm
Well.
always it was something that was suggested, like, hey, let's try a little something different. And I was like, you know what? That is right up my alley. And plus, it'll help me get to know my interviewees a little better, you know? So, cool. Well, Alan, thanks so much for coming on. It's really good to talk to you again. You're a nice guy as always, and I
Thank
guess
you.
here's hoping that that Thursday's match is incident free, and
Exactly,
that we get to see some
exactly.
quality football.
Yeah. We at Social Gun, we made a communique to let everyone know that we should whatever happened in the first game, everyone should stay quiet and so on, just focus on what's happening on the pitch and this kind of thing, you know.
That's
So yeah, it
hopefully
should.
people will listen to that kind of thing, on
Exactly,
both
exactly,
sides, you know.
exactly, exactly. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks so
Well.
much. I hope I get to talk to you some again some other time, all right?
Thanks, Jerry.
All
Good
right.
luck.
Thank you. This you as well. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's our Toffee Blue opposition view. We learned a lot again. If you're liking the videos, please subscribe. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside. Like, comment. What do you think about our conversation with Alain? Okay? Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.